Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Helping you secure your future is brought to you by Alan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
Kaya Biz.
With Google Tumfupi.
Well, if you don't know by now, tomorrow is officially back to school for many South African children, both public and independently owned schools. But we also just came out of the announcement of the matric results. And I can imagine with all this fanfare and celebration of young children who have met their academic requirements, we do need to be mindful that typically education in South Africa does come at a cost. Now, whether you're preparing for grade one and the next 12 years ahead, or maybe still working your way through a child who might be transitioning to high school, or even preparing for tertiary education locally or abroad, ultimately, you do need to invest in your children's education and maybe even your own. Tonight, we're going to fully unpack what that entails and the kind of strategies we should be implementing to make sure that your children are able to explore their global and local study aspirations, no matter the cost. Head of Group Savings and Investments at Alan Gray, Shahid Mohammed, joins us now to tell us more as we get into an intricate conversation around investing for children's education. Shahid, great to have you with us, and happy 2026. Excited for the year ahead. But I can imagine that this is a conversation you must engage with clients on quite often, right? Never mind is investing important overall, but investing for your child's education, that's quite central. Talk to us about this particular theme and the influence it has on one's investment strategy.
Firstly, thank you for having me on the show, and thank you to your listeners as well. I'm quite excited because my kids go back to school tomorrow after a very long holiday.
Right.
And lots of expenses in the process as well. I think I can maybe just start with why it's important to think about your child's future, especially when it comes to the education costs, and why planning is very important. So firstly, the biggest reason to have an investment plan or savings plan is because education costs tend to rise much faster than general inflation and faster than the salaries you earn. Mm-hmm. This is the case at both sort of public and private schools. I have three children at school, and every year I break into a light sweat when I get the fee increase letter into my inbox.
Yeah.
And as long as my daughters have been at school, the increases have been more than inflation, and in some years even double it. Mm-hmm. And what's expected for 2026 is that fees on average will increase between about 5 to 10%. Yeah. And this is against an inflation rate of 5% over the last year, 5 years, and 3.5% in 2025. So what this means for parents or even guardians paying for school fees purely from their salary is that every year a bigger portion of your salary will need to go to paying school fees. And this may be unsustainable for future years. And already many parents are struggling to make ends meet. So putting a plan in place and starting to save or invest for the education kind of reduces the burden in later years by giving you cash flow to pay for school fees from your investment in those later years.
Mm. This is a very important point that you mentioned. Maybe going back to the metrics very briefly, excuse me, if we can understand, sure, why it is that education inflation actually rises a lot higher than the CPI or general inflation. Is there a particular reason why?
Yeah, so education costs tend to rise faster than the general cost of goods because, delivering quality education, it's quite resource intensive. Schools need to invest in skilled teachers. They need to modernize their facilities, upgrade technology, provide extracurricular programs, and they also have to comply with strict safety standards. And all of these things drive fees higher than inflation over time.
Mm. That is quite concerning, and you're quite right. It is part of the dynamic of the input costs that go into providing education as a service. But this naturally means that we need to start a lot earlier. So maybe a cool aunt like me needs to start putting their savings aside. But talk to us about the practical steps, right? Because there's so much that happens when one's life transitions and you become a parent or a guardian to a child that you need to educate. So are there practical steps within which we can navigate this journey?
No, most definitely. So I think what's important is when doing your budget, if you haven't done so already, you should allocate to a savings or an investment plan and start sooner rather than later. The sooner you start after your child is born, the bigger the benefit is in the later years of when school fees become due. Now, so for example, if a person starts investing for their child's education when they are born, and continue to invest, call it monthly, up until the end of primary school. And then they start funding high school and university from the investment. It can work out up to 30 to 50% cheaper in the long run versus funding your child's education completely from your salary.
Sheesh.
So there are a couple of practical steps that one can follow when deciding to start. So once you know how much you want to invest every month, you need to decide on the product that you'd like to utilize. And, you know, at Allan Gray, we have a number of products that cater for individuals with different circumstances and tax requirements. But the most flexible product is a unit trust. Mm. I mean, you can contribute and withdraw when you need without any penalties if you miss a contribution. You also have liquidity to withdraw from your investment, again, without any penalties, and these to pay for your school fees when they become due. There's also endowments and tax reinvestment accounts, which come with additional tax benefits, but sometimes also less flexibility, either with regards to the amount you can contribute or restrictions around when or how much you can withdraw. But we have a lot of information on our website to help our listeners. And then once you know which product you want to access, you need to decide on your investment fund that you would like to use. And we have options that cater for shorter-term investment needs, like, you know, interest or stable fund, or for longer-term needs, like the balanced fund or equity fund, which has a higher allocation to sort of growth assets. Our stable and balanced funds are diversified funds across different asset classes and between South Africa and abroad.
Got you.
So, yeah, I mean, it's important to start and start earlier or sooner rather than later.
100% because of that compounding effect, right? The interest on interest. But
definitely,
and the growth.
I mean, exactly. I mean, the power of compounding, the returns you earn on your returns over the long term actually covers a bigger portion of your costs than you may think. I mean, if I just give an example, I mean, if you just take the average school fees into account in South Africa across the public and private sector. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm using averages, so, you know, every person's different. But if you say contributing 2,500 rand a month from when your child is born, all right, the saving for you over the long term will be about 40%, you know, versus paying from your salary every month up until the end of university. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you start saving from when your child is 6 years old versus when they are born, the saving is 10%. So it just shows the power of compounding, of 40% when the child is born versus 10% saving when your child is six years old. I mean, it is quite significant. But, you know, a lot of parents, you know, didn't consider investing or couldn't afford to invest when their children were younger. But it's never to start too late to start. Mm-hmm. You know, every bit of growth in your investment will reduce the overall cost to you from the growth that you get on those investments. So say your child is starting high school now.
Yeah.
And if you can afford to, you can, you know, set aside a monthly investment while paying their high school fees. You know, depending on how much you can invest, you could fully fund your child's university or college fees from your investment. So it's never too late to start. And as I said, every amount you invest or save that earns growth, that growth can be used to pay off some of the education costs further down the line.
100%. What you've just described here, Shahid, is not only the various options that are available in terms of products, but of course the importance of starting as early as you can. So even if it's today, rather today than being delayed. So the next time I attend a baby shower, you can imagine what kind of gift I might be proposing to the parents.
But yeah, and the parents will probably appreciate it a lot more than the child.
I certainly hope so. And that obviously brings about interesting perspectives, right? Because as you said, the education environment in South Africa is so vast, but nonetheless still has reasonable costs associated with it. I can imagine that it's so much more so for parents who want to send their children abroad to study. Does that also mean that they need to consider alternative investment options or savings options for them to explore to take their children abroad?
Yes and no. So I suppose firstly, studying abroad, there's, I suppose, two things you need to consider. One is firstly the quantum of the fee. So, I mean, if you're studying in the UK, the US or Australia at a good university, you obviously need to think about things like living expenses as well. I mean, in rand terms, you probably start at about 300,000 to 500,000 and can go north of 1.2 million a year. So it's quite expensive to study overseas, but there are, you know, saving or investing any amount can help reduce that amount in the future. But the other thing to think about is also the effect of You know, currency is an exchange rate. So, you know, offshore universities or foreign universities are priced in their currencies. And over the long term, the rand is typically weakened against the major currencies. And I mean, it's likely if your children are going to study abroad, they're going to the one of the sort of more developed countries priced in dollars, pounds or euros. So, you know, 10% weakening of the rand against the foreign currency automatically increases your rand bill by 10%. Mm. So what you need to do is try and mitigate against the currency fluctuations. And so there are ways of doing that. You could invest offshore in the currency in which you'll be paying fees, you know, either by using your offshore allowance or by using a rand denominated offshore funds. And at Allan Green, you know, we offer both of these options to help clients to externalize their funds. So currency is very important. Mm-hmm. And thinking about, you know, paying in a foreign currency. I must stress though, you know, that many parents, they don't know what their children will end up doing after school. So you know, even investing by diversifying offshore at least gives you and your children optionality when they matriculate. So it's not directly related to invest, you know, to studying abroad. You should kind of think about investing offshore for optionality regardless.
Got you. And I think that's such an important point, right? So that at least the capital is available to explore the options that you'd like to have for your child when that does happen. But Shahid, for parents who perhaps take on the discipline, they speak to a financial advisor, they invest diligently. As we know, life typically happens, right? And one key theme that often influences our financial outcomes is not just the market movements, but our behavior. I'm quite keen to understand if there are any behavioral traps that parents should be mindful of and avoid when it comes to investing in their children's education.
There's always behavioral traps, not only in investing, but in life in general. But, you know, if we think about investing, I think firstly, it's trying to time the market or currency moves. You know, most long-term returns arrive in unpredictable bursts. So what's best is rules-based contributions like a monthly debit order, which can help you capture, you know, those when there's big moves upwards in markets. You know, secondly is, you know, raiding the education pot.
Yes.
You know, by interrupting your contributions or withdrawing to fund short-term needs, it erodes the compounding and what's available for school fees further down the line. So you should rather compartmentalize, you know, your education savings versus, you know, an example, an emergency fund. That's in order to protect the education portfolio. Another thing is, you know, funding with high cost credit or loans. You know, I know investing consistently may not be maybe a challenge for a lot of people, but try to avoid relying on loans to cover education costs unless you really, really have no other option. You know, while compound interest works in your favor when you invest, it can work against you when you borrow and paying interest, making it a very expensive option. Sometimes it can be four times the amount of what the actual school fees are when compared to, you know, starting to invest when your child is born, which actually reduces it by 50, you know, up to 50%. And just one of the other things is, you know, being in the incorrect product. So either in the wrong wrapper without understanding the fees or liquidity or tax consequences, or in being in the wrong fund, the underlying investment strategy. So research is very important. And, you know, sometimes it makes sense to partner with an independent financial advisor.
Got you. Very important that we actually heed the call and, of course, apply the necessary discipline as well to investing for the long term when it comes to your child's education, but also starting as early as possible. Shahid, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir, and all the best with the next year ahead for yourself and your three daughters.
Thank you so much, and all the best to you and your listeners as well.
Thank you so much, sir. That's Shahid Mohammed, Head of Group Savings and Investments at Allan Gray, helping us unpack the importance of investing in your children's education. It's a long-term journey, but the sooner you start, the better the benefits for you as a parent. But ultimately, it's never too late to start. Find the right product, seek help and guidance from an advisor, and of course, just manage the behavioral fluctuations that might appear. As best as you can, try to avoid credit. Though we understand, as South Africans, we do find ourselves under immense financial pressure. With over five decades of investing experience, Allan Gray remains focused on building long-term wealth for its clients by pursuing long-term returns without taking undue risk. Allan Gray, More than 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized FSP.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.